You are listening to a sermon by Santosh Ninan, recorded on Sunday, March 28, 2021, at Point Grey Interminenite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speaker are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgimf.org.
Great. Well, what an honor to be with you, albeit in this somewhat strange virtual way, although I think we've all sort of gotten as used to this as humanly possible over the past year, as this has been our mode of communication mainly. And thank you to Rosie. Rosie is a very good friend of mine, and it was through her I got this invitation. So apparently, I spoke here 9 years ago, so we're scheduled for 2030. I'll be back to speak with you, and I'm looking forward to that date. So as we have already been prepared by the songs and the readings, we are at the start of Holy Week, this week in the Christian calendar, where we reflect on the events that led Jesus to the cross and then on to the empty tomb. And so today we're focused on Palm Sunday, where Jesus makes what is known as his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And I've entitled this sermon, The Misunderstood King. And as has been read for us, let me just bring us back to our text of John chapter 12, verses 12 to 15. When the great crowd of the Jews learned that he was there. Oh, sorry, I got the wrong one. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." So what we have here is we have a crowd that is worshiping, that is rejoicing, and that is filled with joyful expectation. So they're waving palm branches. The symbolism of the palm branch actually goes back to the book of Leviticus, where God initiates what is known as the Feast of Tabernacles. And this was a commemorative remembrance feast that would have the Israelites looking back to the deliverance from Egypt and deliverance into the promised land. And so God initiates this memorable act to remember that that act of liberation. Leviticus 23:40 says, "On the first day, you are to take branches from luxuriant trees, from palms, willows, and other leafy trees, and rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days." And so for the Jewish people at that time, at the time of Jesus, the palm branches would be this powerful, significant symbol that would hearken back to the Feast of Tabernacles. Later on, the palm branches would also be used to celebrate military victories. So here we have palm branches, reminders of God's deliverance of his people, and then expressions of gratitude and joy at victories over enemies. And I believe all these meanings coalesce in this action of waving of palm branches for Jesus. Jesus is the deliverer out of captivity into liberation, and Jesus is the victor over enemies. And as he's entering, along with the waving of the branches, we hear these words, "Hosanna, praise to the one who saves. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And that just simply means he's coming as a representative of God. But then we have this most shocking statement, "Blessed is the King of Israel." Can this be true? After centuries of not having a king, does this small beleaguered nation all of a sudden have a king? Will glory and dignity and power come back to the Jewish people? Will they be released from the boot of Roman colonialism? Because in the minds of the crowd, the Messiah, the Savior, the King who was coming into Jerusalem that day was going to lead an incredible liberation campaign, not seen since the deliverance out of Egypt. But then we have this stunning, subversive, and almost confusing detail in the story. And it is this: Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. And then this prophecy from Zechariah: your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt. Kings do not ride donkeys. Donkeys are not associated with either royalty or with power. Donkeys were used by merchants and most often used as pack animals for the transportation of goods. And so I would suggest that we have some very powerful symbolism happening here. The king riding on a donkey becomes a symbol of Jesus' life and ministry. In Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul writes about Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Listen to this. He made himself nothing. He took on the very nature of a servant. He was made in human likeness. He was found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on a cross. So a king that rides a donkey is a king who is subverting everything we believe about power, authority, and glory. But the crowd doesn't see this. They don't see the symbolism. Indeed, they were probably confused by why Jesus chose a donkey. And that's why I call Jesus the misunderstood king, because many of them were worshiping a Jesus who represented their political ideals and wishes, a king who represents their own socio-political liberation. And if someone is coming who is going to release you from political oppression, then the natural response would be to call out Hosanna and blessings and waving palm branches. But here's the key: is they are not worshiping the Jesus who has come to save them from the ultimate oppression. The crowd believed that the Messiah coming to liberate them was going to liberate them purely from the political oppression of Rome over the Jewish nation. And, you know, in our day, we're especially here in America, there have been a lot of cries for justice, for social justice, in light of the killings of unarmed Black men and women in the United States. So there's a lot of cries out for justice and equity, which I support and I think is important. But the question I raise is, what happens after political liberation? What happens after equity comes to all of us? Because the truth is that societal equity, political liberation, does not deal with my guilt. It does not deal with my shame. It does not deal with my sin. It does not deal with my brokenness. We can overcome political oppression. Wonderful, great. But what about my personal oppression? What about the injustices and inequities and imbalances that exist in my own life? Because the king that you and I worship today gives us a liberation that is much deeper than any kind of liberation the world can offer. Because the king we worship today, this Jesus, liberates us not only from Roman enslavement, he liberates us from the enslavement of sin. This is the Jesus deserving of our worship. And I want to just continue with this symbolism of the humble king and this juxtaposition, this sort of almost paradox. And I would suggest that the king on the donkey becomes the paradigm from which we understand the reality of the polarities of God. A clear elucidation of this, where we see both worship and we see a humble king, is in the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 to 11, we read this. After this, I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, shouting, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne, and to the Lamb." So do you see that? That this entry into Jerusalem is a very weak foreshadowing of what is to come. We will be waving palm branches again, but it will not just be one nation. It will be all nations together. The angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen, blessing, glory, wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Here we will see the full glorification and the full understanding of Jesus' real identity. Later on in Revelation 7, in verse 17, it says, "The Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." And here again, that profound juxtaposition of both power and humility. The Lamb is sitting on the throne. The Lamb is at the center of the throne. Jesus, the Lamb, is sitting on the throne of heaven, where he is reigning over all. And this Jesus, this Lamb, is all the King who will lead us to living water and who will wipe every tear from our eyes. This past year, 2020, has been a year of a lot of tears, has been a year of a lot of crying. It's been a year of a lot of loss. We all have tears. We all cry. Many times it's us wiping away our own tears. You know, the eye is an extremely sensitive part of our body. We're very careful and gentle when we're close to our eyes. And here the King of the universe will reach down and touch our eyes to wipe away our tears. Can you think of any other reason to cry Hosanna? To cry, "Not only blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, but blessed is the Lord. Not only blessed is the King of Israel, but blessed is the King of Canada. Blessed is the King of America. Blessed indeed is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hosanna." Thank you so much for inviting me. Wonderful to be with you this morning. Blessings.